And so Timothy is overseeing the churches in Ephesus, and Paul gives him instruction and encouragement. I'll pray before we dive in here. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us. And as we have it open in front of us, as we read it, study it this morning, we pray that we would hear from you, that we'd be clear on what the meaning is, what you're communicating to us, and then how should we take that? What should we do with that in our own lives and in our own relationship with you? And so we pray that your Holy Spirit would speak through your word to us this morning. And we pray for the kids downstairs too, as they're learning your word as well. And Lord, help them come to a solid faith in you. And we pray that your hand would be over them all their days, just as we pray for ourselves, that you would direct us, guide us, continue to love us. We know you will, and correct us when we need that. And Lord, we want to grow to become more and more mature in Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so these books of the Bible are so packed with different things that we learn that it's hard to do any kind of review that would do justice to what we've covered so far, even though it's simply two chapters that we've completed in 2 Timothy. So, concise review. I put it this way. If we look at chapter 2, verse 3, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And Paul carries on with a couple other examples. But a lot of what we're being encouraged in the book of 2 Timothy, as Paul encourages Timothy, is stay focused, stay on track. Don't get caught up in things that you shouldn't be caught up in. You know your role. You know your Lord. what he has for you to do. There's lots of opposition. There's lots who would try and tear down what the Lord is doing. There's lots who would like to pull you away from following the Lord, but don't get entangled with things that are going to distract you from what the Lord wants. And we saw last week, as we have in previous weeks, and even in 1 Timothy, there's been quite a few instructions. And don't get caught up in, there's different ways it's put, idle babbling, useless wrangling, useless disputes, all this kind of stuff. And it underscores just stay focused, stay on track. Like, so know what we're supposed to be about, and we receive that direction from the Lord, and then don't get sidetracked. And there's probably too many different sidetracks to even list. So, which underscores know the truth and stick with that. And we'll see more of that this morning in chapter 3. And so we'll just dive in here and read the first 5 verses of the chapter. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men, and this is men and women, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Which would simply be saying, if we are walking along in life with these people, turn from it, like walk away from that, or run, but turn from it. Because if those we are either walking with or listening to or allowing to influence us are those who are these things, it will affect us. And that's why Paul says, from such people turn away. It says perilous times back in verse 1. Perilous means troubled, hard to bear, dangerous, stressful times. The word even has a sense of, in behind this, is even fierce. I believe the only other time in the Bible it's used, it's in Matthew describing the two demon-possessed guys, and it's the same word to describe them. So you can kind of get a sense. It's used there to describe demon possession and just how fierce they were, and then also in this, in the context of what Paul is saying here, or the Lord through Paul's writing to Timothy. And so, okay, like it's troubled, hard, dangerous, like ferocious, maybe even a hint of that. So Paul says, know this, in the last days there will be perilous times. So last days, what does that mean? Last days is, it's really one of those things that's both a broad term and can be narrowed up as well. So last days, we could say, started with the beginning of the church in the book of Acts and runs right to the time of Jesus' return or the rapture of the church. Well, it'd be right till Jesus' return. And so it's broad in that sense. And then also when we look at this as, okay, perilous times in the last days, we have a sense or understanding that, because Jesus talked about observing the signs of the times. Like as the end gets nearer, the intensity increases. So perilous times right from the time that the letter of 2 Timothy was written, and it was a perilous time to be a Christian. Many died. It was at least in the Roman Empire. And there's been many perilous times since. But we look at it and go, when we're looking at end times, and go, as it gets really close to the end, it's going to ramp up and be more and more widespread until, I believe, like described in the days of Noah, everyone was intent on evil all the time kind of thing, or very widespread. And so Paul says, know this. There will be perilous times. So know it. Don't be afraid of it, but know it. Understand. And I think we can look around and go, it's pretty wild times across the world. And it's across the world. There's pockets where it's better. Like here is a lot better than, say, to be a Christian than, or a lot less persecution, let me put it that way, than, say, a place like Nigeria right now. And we could come up with a list. But it's going to get more and more widespread. And as we get closer to Jesus' return, expect it to ramp up. So Paul says, expect it, know it, don't be afraid. And then he goes through this list of really character traits that will become more and more common in people in general. So I'm not going to break down every one. Most of these things are pretty straightforward. But notice what it starts with. For men, men and women will be lovers of themselves. And that's important to note, because love of self, really, we could say, is the foundation for all the depravity we see that follows on that list. Love of self is very much, if not the foundation, it's a big part of the foundation. It's not love of Christ. It's not love of God. And that's the first commandment. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. But it's love of self. And then this is the fruit of that. Out of that comes love of money and boasting and pride and blaspheming God, disobedience to parents, or essentially all authority, unthankful, unholy, which is like not obedient to God, unloving. Interesting, because I certainly believe this, love of self will lead to being unloving in general of others. And also unforgiving, slander and gossip and that kind of thing. No self-control. With no self-control, people become brutal. Eventually, like this is like showing us where this goes. Despising good. Along with that comes celebrating evil. Traitors. Traitors, backstabbers, headstrong, it's like, linked to pride, and haughty, linked to pride. And then lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. It's that love of self, again, above all else. And so, be careful of the when it's thrown around, and I think sometimes people don't realize what they're saying, but I need to learn to love myself. Generally, we don't need to learn to love ourselves. We need to learn to love God and love others, not ourselves. We do need to have a right view of ourselves, not thinking too highly, but also not thinking too low either. We need to have a right view of ourselves. We are created by God. God loves us. God has a plan for us. He desires us to walk in relationship with Him. He desires us to spend eternity in heaven with Him. So God thinks very highly of us. He sent His Son to die for us. So we need to understand that we are highly valued, and not live in a place of self-condemnation and those kinds of things. But this whole learn to love yourself thing, it's kind of crazy, biblically speaking. So, the last days will get perilous. They'll get really hard. As there are places in the world right now where it's extremely hard. And this is what happens when people and nations run away from God. But we're not to fear it. We're to lean into God. And now, with all this, this list we went through, so, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, which is interesting. What does that mean? So, a form of godliness but denying its power. In all of this, with all these characteristics, we looked at. In all of this, some people still claim to have a form of godliness or wrap it up in some kind of religion or spirituality or call it good. And the thing is, with a lot of this, even looking at the list, you go, well, who would want to be that? Well, it tends to be packaged up in a neater package when it's being sold to us, right, or presented to them when it filters through. Some of it, clearly, we know is pretty obvious as well, but a lot of it is packaged up as, oh, this is good. But some will and do claim to be godly while having these kind of attributes. Could be some kind of spirituality, could be religious, packed up in religion, but not biblical. And that's the thing to look for, not in submission to God himself. And without the submission to God, even if someone is quoting portions of, say, the Bible, if there's no submission to God, if they're not under his authority, there is no power. And so, and think of it this way, even in our own lives, we will not experience the power of God if we're not submitted to God, in that sense of him changing our lives, changing our hearts. Romans 12:2, transforming our minds. So, having a form of godliness but denying its power, which is, I would say, I at least I'm thinking of it this way, not allowing the power of God any influence in their lives. It does not reduce any of God's power, because God is all powerful. But many deny that he is. And so the instruction is, don't hang out with these people. In fact, turn from them. Get away from that. It doesn't mean don't share the good news of Jesus with them, but don't be under their influence in any way, shape, or form. And a way to check, a simple way to check, and this is like, and I'm thinking, and we'll see one example Paul's going to bring up that was happening in Ephesus of influence coming in to our lives or even into our homes. And we need to be wise and weigh these things against what is true. But I think of it this way, for what we're watching, what we're listening to, and sometimes it might be, if we think, false teachers, how do we tell? There's many who have lots to say, but a good measuring stick is, at the end of the day, are they submitted to God and do they desire to obey him fully? And I say desire, no one's perfect. Or do they deny that God has the right to tell them what to do? And specifically through his word. So when you see or hear those who are, they might even have a Bible, but they deny some of it. Run away. It's that simple. You don't even need to debate with them. You give it one shot, maybe. Try and correct them. Maybe it's more, but it needs to be, don't be influenced. It's like, this is what it's getting at. Don't get pulled in. Listen to God. So they're very easy to be influenced by people who do not put themselves under God's authority, but we pick and choose pieces. Well, I like what they say on this or that. Well, very careful who's shaping your beliefs, be it friends, social media, podcasts, different, could be sermons. I would remind you of this. The world is trying to normalize the list that we read. And many promote evil or promote it. So just no, don't be afraid of it, but no. Like a good soldier, pay attention. Romans 12:2 is a great verse. Let's I'll read 1 and 2 because 1 is one of our memory verses. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. To live in obedience to God, this is our reasonable service. Doesn't earn us our salvation, but it's a reasonable response. In verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so as we allow our minds to be transformed by God's word, it protects us from, well, that list. The world is trying to conform us. God is offering to transform us. And that's important. It's an important concept or truth to understand. The world seeks to shape us into one thing. And it has to some degree been successful. We have a sinful nature. But God will transform us. And thank the Lord for that. He saved us. He's paid the debt. Grace through faith. And then the sanctification part, the living is set apart, is more and more living in this. We're being transformed by the renewing of our minds. And I love that word transform because it speaks of being changed as opposed to simply controlling behavior. It'll actually renew our minds and change our hearts. Okay, verse 6. Just prior, and from such people turn away. Verse 6, for out of this sort are those who creep into households, make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay, so he gives an example. So I would say this, it would seem that under Timothy's watch, if you will, or in that area, this must have been happening. So specific example, Paul going, hey, for of this sort are those, they may have even had people they could picture that were doing this or involved in this. For this sort of those who creep into households, make captives of, says gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. I would not take this passage to label women as gullible. So let me just say that to start with. Like to make that blanket statement, like somehow men are immune to this kind of thing, because observation would say that is not true, as well as this passage not directly saying that. So we're not going to try and pull that takeaway out of here, but here's an example. This is actually happening. There are guys getting into households and bringing in, let's just put it this way, false teaching and leading people astray, specifically women in this case. But it's getting into households. And this is a point for me to really take note of for all of us, men and women. Be careful what we let into our lives, into our households. There is a spiritual battle going on. We're not afraid of the enemy. We're not looking for forces of evil or demons behind every tree kind of thing. But understand that there is a battle, and understand that there is a lot of what goes on in the world and what is a lot of the messages that are preached, if you will, by the world. There is a whole lot of evil behind it all, and it wants to creep in to our lives. So knowing the truth of God's word and growing in our own maturity in our walk with the Lord will protect us. We will spot these things earlier and earlier on and suffer less and less of the consequences of it actually getting into our lives. And a lot of times these things and those who promote them, they're just trying to feed the very sinful nature we have, led away by various lusts, loaded down with sins. So these are things on a personal level we should take to the Lord. Maybe we need a trusted person or two to ask for help. And then not get caught up with or in those messages. It can be where it's like in the end days, the Bible also tells us people will, they'll seek to have their ears tickled to hear what they want to hear. So if someone says, oh yeah, you can do this, be like, oh, okay, I'll follow that teaching when the Bible says no. No, that's wrong. So what am I saying? Always come back to God's word. Don't be gullible, anybody. We don't need to be. We're God's children if we have faith in him. We have his word. Sure, we get things wrong at times. When we realize the truth, repent, learn from it, carry on stronger, stay in the battle, be diligent with what creeps into our minds, our hearts, our very homes. Turn from it. If it's a someone, turn from them. And know, too, that Paul is talking to Timothy, a leader of the church. And there's also the element of, pay attention and deal with things. Don't allow false teaching. Don't allow the enemy a foothold. Someone's trying to tear down what God's doing. You need to recognize it. Take appropriate measures. That's a topic for a different day, how to biblically go through that, but there is a way to do that. But in the moment, and in our lives, if this is happening somewhere, the very clear instruction on a personal level is turn away. Get away from it. So that's our takeaway. 8:9. Now as Yans and Yambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning the faith. So those that sell this stuff, teach this stuff, they are disapproved, we note. 9, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all. As was theirs also, talking about these two mentioned. Who are these two? Well, the two referenced here, we don't know this from the Bible, but Hebrew tradition. These were two of the magicians in the day of Moses. So two of Pharaoh's magicians who, if you remember from that account, when God brought the plagues on Egypt, the magicians also did miraculous things. When Moses cast down his rod and turned into a serpent, the magicians did that, and theirs turned into a serpent too. They also turned water to blood. They replicated a number of those miraculous things in those plagues, but yet not all. And they did what they did not by the power of God, but by the power of darkness. And they eventually could not match God miracle for miracle, which is very much worth noting. But they had occult powers. They had demonic powers. And it was real power. So we need to understand it's real power. Its power does not match God's, however. But it's real power, and it can be deceptive. And so Paul is bringing this in, going, this is real stuff. The forces behind it are real. The fruit of it's real. You can observe the fruit. When you see that, get away from it. And that would be whether it's in my own life or in someone else's. Take the steps to get away from it. And God will honor that obedience when we do that. So they had power, these guys, but they resisted God. They're fully in opposition to God. So what can we learn from this and what we're reading in our text so far this morning? Just because someone is saying something and maybe with conviction and it's packaged up to be attractive, weigh it against God's word, weigh it against his counsel, and go with God's. Always go with God's. Go to God and do what is right. He'll bless that. So evil can look attractive at times, even miraculous. Don't be tricked by it. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived by power, position, even results. I have, yeah, even in my own life, had conversations with those who are like down a road that looks very dark, but they're going, but the results are good. It feels like I see good things. And I would certainly say that when it comes to Satan, those forces of darkness, they play the long game. I'm not quoting scripture, it's about our souls. I believe short-term so-called good results are something they're willing to put up with for long-term victory. So the end does not justify the means. And we can tell when it's like there's this result, but there's this disobedience to God along the path. It's like, no. Obey God. Trust him. Be wary of the shortcuts. And by shortcut, something that taking a road through disobedience to God to get to a result. Someone's teaching that, get away from them. You can try and correct them if it's appropriate. Don't get into useless wrangling with them. Just get away. So main point here, always check with God's word. Know it. Do not allow the disapproved to have influence in your life. I And I think this is one that's really important, actually, because there is so much the access to information and opinions and just like the whole world of, you know, commentators and podcasts and just like it's endless. And some of them are very good at some things. But what else is coming with it? Are they submitted to God? That is the first question. And I understand if it's the mechanic working on our car, you're probably looking for a good mechanic, not someone who's maybe you don't need, their doctrine does not necessarily have to be right in the faith. Like, I get that. Having a Christian mechanic is good, however. But like these things that actually influence our beliefs, you know, our the way we think, be very careful. We talked about last week, I mentioned that term, you know, and sometimes it's used even with listening to Bible teachers that they're not quite right, but I like some of that eat the meat and spit out the bones thing. Maybe you haven't heard that term. I heard it a bunch for a while. Drove me crazy then. It still does. Don't even eat the garbage. Like, just don't pick. Why would we sort through? Like, why not go to a godly source and just try to understand the pure truth rather than sifting through? It doesn't make sense. But it's easy to allow that by, you know, different things are influencing us. So, like a good soldier, pay attention. Weigh everything against God's word. Verse 10. Shifts gears a little bit. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So remember, this is Paul talking to Timothy, who was younger, spent many years, then really grew up in the faith under Paul. And so Paul says to him, but you have carefully followed, like you've observed and also put into practice, you know, as I have followed the Lord, observing, taking note of, and then applying to his own life. And so it is really helpful to have someone, you know, in our Christian walk who is a little bit farther along than us. And I think it is also very good and healthy to have people who, you know, are also newer in the faith that we can help as well. And as Paul would say, follow me as I follow Christ, which is, I think of that and go, oh, well, that's quite a bar to set for yourself when you say, follow me as I follow Christ, because it might sound more like follow me except for. But part of it all is, you know, emphasizing the grace of God. And we aren't perfect, but going, okay. And so we mess up, what do? We repent, we turn to God, and we carry on. We learn from it. But we see some things here in verse 10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine. Doctrine is important. What we believe about God, about the Bible, it's important. It's critically important. And we should model faith and belief in God and trust in his word. And we should have people around us that do the same thing and encourage us in that. Manner of life, you know, godly conduct, purpose. We are to have purpose in life, purpose that's directed by God. Faith is critical. Long-suffering or patience. Life gets hard at some times. Love God and love your neighbor. Perseverance, like with long-suffering or patience, perseverance, like persevere to the end. Paul did. Who else did? Jesus did. He persevered all the way to the cross, which is followed by the resurrection. We persevere following Christ. One day we too will rise. The Bible teaches us that. New bodies in heaven will be in the presence of God. Persecutions, afflictions. Paul named some places where he suffered things like imprisonment, beatings, stone, well, to death, arguably. He went through a lot. And what does he say? And out of them all the Lord delivered me. And so that is our trust. The persecutions to some degree or another will come. The afflictions certainly will. And we are to trust God. It helps to have examples of the others who walk in faith and trust. And then the hope is that we be that example to someone else. So that sounds like a healthy church body to have that. We're following the Lord and helping each other follow the Lord through whatever comes along in life, trusting him. So, questions. Do you have a role model for following Christ? And understand that Christ is our role model, and we go to God's word. But are there those around that will at least help us, come alongside us? Do you have that? Are you that for someone else? Maybe the answer is no. The question then is, well, what steps can be taken? Or you think, I can't be that. Well, could you be that one day? And how to get there? Because these are things the Lord desires. We see it in Paul and Timothy's relationship. We saw it earlier in Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:2. The four generations, right? Well, you've heard from me, pass on to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. This is the healthy Christianity, I would say, or health in following Christ or in making disciples. Learn and give it away. Be encouraged. Encourage someone else. Verse 13. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The thing with deceivers is they are themselves deceived. Why do they do what they do? Well, they're deceived. What are they trying to do? Deceive more. And the thing is, this doesn't fix itself. It only gets worse. If it doesn't radically change, like the Lord steps in, repentance. It gets worse and worse, and especially as the numbers of people or a whole nation moves in a direction like that. It's like that list we looked at. Again, not to fear that. Some of this is simply going through facts. These things happen and will continue to happen. Be informed, be aware. Have faith in God. And 14, but you must continue in the things which you have learned. So here's, okay, what do we do? Everything's falling apart. What do we do? Build bunkers and hide? It doesn't say that. 14, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. It's important. Who have you learned from? Ultimately, it needs to be God. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise. So God's word is able to make you wise for salvation. That's the most important thing. Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Salvation through faith in Jesus. That's what we build on. Grace of God, not our works. In perilous times, it is important to know who or what, but especially who, you can count on. It's like, whoa, there's all this stuff. Where's our rock? Who's our rock? It's the Lord. We need to be able to go there. So it's God, His Word, the Holy Scriptures, as our text says. They make us wise. I like what Colossians 3:16 says or points to. It says, let the words of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And that is really what we need, who we need, is Jesus. So rather than being hit and swayed by deception, that the word of Christ would dwell in us richly. Dwell is kind of like settle down and be at home with you in richness. 16 and 17 we'll finish with. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So one of our memory verses, verse 16, they're pretty well-known verses. We see this morning the context that they're written in. The context is perilous times will come. Those perilous times may get worse. Don't be deceived. Turn away from deception, those who promote it. Even if they make it look spectacular and attractive. Could be speaking to desires we have. We want to go down that road. Don't listen to them, listen to God. It could be miraculous. Well, they have power. Is it power from God or is it power from something else? So all scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed, as the NIV puts it. It's God's word to us. That's the thing. That's what we believe. God's word, the Bible is inspired by God. It's God's word. It's His counsel to us. This is a foundational thing. It talks about doctrine. One of the primary ones, like what doctrine, what we believe. Is so important. Is the Bible God's word? If you don't believe it is, then I would say that's something to figure out. Because there isn't a foundation to build on. If we're questioning God's word and try and build our lives, but yet still kind of try and build our lives on that foundation, it's going to feel pretty shaky. More common is not so much, oh, I don't believe the Bible's God's word, but it's more common, I believe it's fair to say, within Western Christianity is, oh, I believe the Bible, but it's like this passage, that's not relevant anymore, and that one's not. And if you actually started with some, tearing out the pages of what they ignore or won't apply, it would be shocking how many pages would be on the floor. So think of it that way. Do we believe it or not? Is all of God's word inspired or not? So if you're not confident in that, okay, fine. Pay attention to that. Sort that out. Because trying to build a Christian life without confidence in God's word, it's a shaky thing. Know that you know that you know that God says what he means. Means what he says. That he does not change. That he is loving and gracious. But he is also God Almighty on the throne. So God's word is inspired by God as we look at the Bible. If it's some or most, it's a problem. Numbers 23:19. I have to read this because I memorized it in the NIV, which is why I have to read a bunch of my memory work, because years ago I memorized a lot of these verses in NIV, so I don't want to confuse you all, but it's like, what is he quoting? Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? I should like the NIV. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and then not fulfill? And it's all pointing to God is God, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. And his word is trustworthy. That's where we come to in the end. Do we trust God at his word or not? And God's word is useful for teaching us doctrine, our beliefs, for correcting us, for training us, instructing us. All to bring us to that place where we are thoroughly equipped for him, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the emphasis is, through all of what we've looked at today, know the word of God. It will protect you. It will keep you from being deceived. It will train us. And with it, we can also help others. So, know the word. And be very, very thankful for it. And it's so easy to take the word of God for granted. It's a treasure, full of promises, full of instruction, full of wisdom. And so may the Lord help us as we seek to know him better through his word. And I love that picture in Colossians of the words of Christ dwelling in us richly. That is a picture of abundance right there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and it seems that times we are in perilous times, Lord. You know our days, and you know your plan. We pray, Lord, whatever happens in the world around us, that we would be those who follow you closely, those who know your word, know your truth, and are able to discern the lies from the truth. And for us, Lord, if there's any area or anything or any influence in our lives that we need to turn from, Lord, help us to do that. Pray your Holy Spirit would convict us, and that by faith we would trust you, take the steps to move away from that and towards you. And Lord, always, as we try and put off the old, we want to be putting on the new in you. So help us with that, Lord. You've won the battle. You know, help us to walk in the victory that you've won. You've won the war. We do have the day-to-day battles. So help us be those good soldiers, faithful to you, receiving instruction from you, and focused on what you have for us, Lord. And we pray, Lord, for an abundance of your grace, that the word of Christ would dwell in us richly, that we would experience abundance in you. And we're so thankful for your love for us. Where would we be without your love and your grace? We're thankful for the cross. We're thankful our Savior is risen. Lord, fill us with hope. Perilous times or not, our hope is in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.